morning, Father.
It's begun to drizzle.
Well, that won't worry you, will it?
I suppose you're thinking of going out.
I might have done. Yes, I might very well have gone out. I was thinking of calling on George and discussing our plans for next weekend.
Ah, yes. When you both move into number one.
I shan't go, of course.
You what?
I shan't go out if it's raining. I mustn't risk catching a cold.
Oh, I see. You gave me rather a shock, Father.
What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. I just thought for a moment you meant...
Oh, you can't wait to be rid of me now, I suppose. Go on, don't spare my feelings. Be honest.
Now, that's a complete distortion of the truth, and you know it. I've all been pleased to have you here, but we all know you'll be a lot happier in a place of your own.
And Jeremy can have his room back after I've gone. Yes, I'm well aware of my position in the order of priorities.
Well, it is his home, after all. It's only natural for us to want him back.
It's equally natural for Lynn to want him too, I should have thought. That's been his home ever since Christmas.
Has Lynn been saying anything to you, Father?
No. Why?
Because I'm afraid that may be exactly the way her mind's working. Every time I try to talk to her about Jeremy coming back here, she's always too busy. Well, she's just popped out for a moment. I think she's avoiding me.
Nonsense. She leads a very full life. I've no doubt she is busy.
Well, we'll see. No point in her trying to put it off. There. That's the last of the potatoes.
It's not right. I don't care if I am being old-fashioned. I still say it's not right.
Father, you must allow me to decide what's best for Jeremy.
I'm not talking about Jeremy. I meant you, up to your elbows in the sink, peeling potatoes. What sort of occupation is that for a grown man?
Well, now, let's not have an argument about that.
But I still say that's not the way I expect my son to spend a Sunday morning, doing the housework.
I suppose you think I should have gone to church.
You could do the same as every other able-bodied man in this street. Go out and wash the motor car. There's somebody at the back door.
Yes, Father.
Ah, Mr. Tully.
Good morning, Mr. Tyson. I hope I haven't called it a...
No, that's quite all right.
Oh, excuse me.
Come on in. No, I don't think you've met my father. This is Mr. Tully, Father, from the boatyard.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Tyson? I'm very pleased to meet you. Your son's told me a lot about you.
Oh, has he, indeed.
It's nice to see you, Mr. Tully. What are you doing in this part of the world?
Well, I did say I'd call in some time when I got a minute to spare to look at that timber.
The timber? Oh.
I had a quick look through the garden on my way through, but I couldn't see any timber. Where are you keeping it?
Sorry, Rob.
Oh, my fault.
Oh, no, I shouldn't have been walking backwards. Oh.
Hey, what have you got in that box? 100 weight of coal?
No, books. And I am here to tell you that pound for pound, books weigh more than any other substance known to man.
Want me to give you a hand?
Oh, well, it's a tempting offer, but no, you're on your way out. I mustn't hold you up. You're off to the restaurant to do the Sunday lunches, eh?
I shall be, very soon. But I'm not going out yet. I was just coming in, as a matter of fact.
Well, you've been out to get the Sunday papers in, eh?
No. Actually, I was out last night, staying with some friends. I only came home to get changed before I go to work.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, let's get that box downstairs. Come on, it'll be a whole lot easier with two of us.
Oh, well, I won't argue with that. Right, you ready?
Yep.
One, two, and... Oh, God.
I see what you mean. Oh, how many books have you got in here, anyway?
It's the contents of only one bookcase, I'm afraid. There'll be three more like this.
Oh. How are we doing?
There's only a couple more steps to go. I tried to weed some of them out. When it came to the point, I kept thinking, you never know, you might need that one day.
Yeah.
There we are. That's done.
Whew.
Right, thanks, Rob. Now, I'm afraid for the next few days, the house is going to be fairly chaotic.
Oh, won't bother me. I'm not here all that much anyhow.
No, I suppose you're not. You're not thinking of moving as well, by any chance, are you?
What makes you say that?
Well, you seem to have been away quite a bit recently. I wondered if you had any other plans.
No. Well, to be quite honest, I did have the offer of a place, but, well, I don't think I'll be moving for quite a while. This suits me fine.
Mr. Tully, I do apologize. I've dragged you out on a wild goose chase.
Don't give it another thought, Mr. Tyson. It doesn't matter at all.
It's so stupid. When I thought we were going to be stuck with all that timber, I rang you up on the off chance.
You will do these things without stopping to think.
And then when I cancelled the extension, the builders came round and collected everything up. I never gave it another thought. I should have rang you back.
Yes, I see, it doesn't matter. It gives an excuse to get away from the yard for half an hour. I was glad to get out of the office this morning, to be honest.
Oh, well, this is your busiest time of the year, isn't it? All the new contracts for spring and summer.
Well, generally speaking, that's the truth. Winter time, we don't reckon to do more than ticking over, like.
It was inexcusable of my son to bring you all this way for nothing when you're so busy. Peter, surely you will offer Mr. Tully a cup of coffee. It's the least you can do.
I was just going to do that, Father. Do you want one?
Not at the moment, thank you. I only came in to collect the Sunday papers. I'll just take them back to my room, if I may. Not that it'll be my room for very much longer, of course.
I beg pardon?
I don't know whether Peter told you. I'm being moved out to make way for my grandson.
Oh, really?
Still, that's what one must expect as one gets older. One has to step aside and make way for the younger generation. The old order changeth. I shan't complain, you understand. All I want is to fall in with everyone else's plans, with the least possible fuss.
May heaven forgive you.
Goodbye, Mr. Tully.
Bye.
Very nice to have met you. I may see you again one day, I hope, if I'm spared. If you can bring me a cup of coffee up and some biscuits in about half an hour, Peter. Say at 11 o'clock.
Well, now you've met my father. But I warn you, you have to take what he says with a handful of salt.
Oh, I could tell he was laying it on a bit. He's just like my old dad. He could be a real terror when he didn't get his own way.
Yes. You do take sugar, don't you, Mr.?
That's right. He was quite a character, me old dad. Wonderful head for business, though. He ran that yard like clockwork, he did.
Your coffee,
thanks.
Mr. Tully.
Goodness knows what he'd say if he could see it now, mind.
I'm sorry?
Well, it's not what it used to be. And that's a fact. Business isn't exactly on the up and up. Oh, I dare say some of it's my fault. But you know better than anyone, the other side is not my strong suit. But it's not only that, man, it's the whole thing. The industry's dying out.
Yes, I suppose there isn't the same demand to build new barges. Oh, sorry, narrow boats.
Aye, you're right. Oh, we get repair work to keep us going, and there's been a bit of interest in letting boats for holidaymakers in the summer. But there's no shutting your eyes to the fact. Building new craft for the canals, well, it's on its last legs.
Well, what'll happen to the boatyard, then?
I don't know, Mr. Tyson. I wish I did.
Surely. Well, well, this is an unexpected pleasure and no mistake.
How are you, George?
Well, I'm struggling on, getting there by degrees.
It's a big job packing everything up.
It certainly is. I don't know how I've done it, but I seem to have acquired so many more bits and pieces since I left Cane House and moved in here.
Well, there's all Mum's stuff as well, for a start.
Yes, yes, of course. Not only furniture, all sorts of knick-knacks.
Most of Mum's stuff's probably junk anyway. You want a real good turnout, give the dustman a field day.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
George, it's no use being sentimental about it. You've got to be realistic.
Yes, yes, I try to be. But anyway, I'll have more room when I get over the road. I'll be able to spread myself a bit.
Don't you believe it. I know those knick-knacks of Mum's. They've got a life of their own.
Hmm?
I've always suspected they multiply like rabbits when you're not looking. Before you know where you are, you'll be up to your neck in brass cowbells and little boxes covered in shells.
Well, we'll see. Oh, dear, whatever am I thinking of? I should have offered you a cup or something. Sit down, Shirley. I'll put the kettle
on. No, we've only just had lunch. I wouldn't dream of it, George. I'm here to work.
Work?
Well, Cliff's having a nap, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to come over and give you a hand with the packing.
Oh, you shouldn't have bothered.
No, it's not a bother, George. Besides, I wanted to say thank you.
Whatever for?
Well, being so good about Cliff, you know, the night he drank too much.
Oh, it's all over and done with now.
Just wanted you to know I appreciate it very much. That's why I wanted to help you get ready for your move.
Oh.
Where should I begin? Upstairs?
Well, as a matter of fact...
I've been through the chest of drawers,
you mentioned it.
And I put all your shirts and vests into those two big suitcases that were on top...
Oh. Hello, dear. Hello, Mrs. Brewer.
Shirley very kindly offered to come over and give a helping hand. Wasn't that nice of her?
Fancy that. Great minds think alike.
Here you are, Rob. That's the last receipt. We can cash up now.
Thanks. Oh, that's a good one, too.
How did this week compare with the previous Sunday?
We were about £30 up on last week.
Oh, great. You see, Lynn was right. She said it'd pick up by Easter.
Sunday lunch is always pretty steady. I reckon it's because people are too lazy to get up and cook for themselves after Saturday night. Oh, gosh, sorry.
Mark, who's talking? You look as if you had a pretty wild Saturday night yourself.
Oh, well, once in a while.
Once in a while? You've been out nearly every night lately.
You've been checking up on me.
Oh, come on, I can't help noticing when you're not there. Still the same one?
Yes, it is.
Well, I just hope that you're...
Oh! I'm sorry, excuse me.
What are you doing here, Alexis?
If you're looking for Mrs. Price, she left about half an hour ago.
Ah, yes, I know. She sent me back here because she left her handbag behind.
Did she? Oh, I didn't notice.
He's under the desk, she say?
Yeah? Oh, hang on. Oh, she's right. Here it is, Alexis.
Ah! She sent you all the way back to fetch her bag.
Oh, he's nothing. I was going out this afternoon to meet a young lady I know. It was not out of my way.
No, which is going to get a bit of a shock when you turn up swinging a handbag.
Oh, he's only a small handbag. And I got big pockets in this overcoat. Oh, one moment. Something in the way.
You've got too much in there already.
Oh, no. Fool that I am, I forgot to take these out.
Underwater goggles? Who is this lady friend you're meeting? A mermaid?
Those are Jeremy's goggles, aren't they?
Oh, sure. I forgot to give them back to him last night after the swimming.
Hang on. You went swimming with Jeremy yesterday.
That's right, yes. Mrs. Breyer, she explained how you were too busy to go. She say from now on, I go to the baths with Jeremy instead.
But she told me... He wasn't going swimming this week. She said he had a cold coming on.
Oh, no. You must have some mistake. Jeremy has no cold. He's okay.
Well, somebody made a mistake. How peculiar.
Yes. Isn't it?
Come along, ladies. Stop what you're doing, both of you. Tea's ready.
I'm just going to finish wrapping these glass vases.
No, Shirley, leave that for now. Have your tea while it's hot. Oh. Come along, Mrs. Brewer. You as well.
Oh, well, I won't say no. Ooh! It isn't until you straighten up you realise you've got muscles you never even knew about.
I told you, you should have let me clear out those things from the bottom shelf.
Well, I'm very grateful to both of you for volunteering to help me pack up. I don't know how I'd have managed without you.
Well, if we get all this stuff parcelled out now, you'll only have the heavy pieces left for the moving men when they come.
I don't see why you need to get removal men at all. It's only across the road. Ooh. I'm sure we could have managed it between us.
The sofa and the sideboard. I don't think so, Shirley.
Cliff could have got one of his mates to help.
Oh, no. I don't want to impose on anybody, least of all Cliff.
Oh, go on, he'd have been glad to. Still feels bad about the other night. It would have been one way of atoning.
Not another word, Shirley. He had 1/8. It could have happened to anybody. Well, almost anybody.
Oh, it was so stupid. Just because he was feeling a bit low. He'd had some trouble with the bloke in charge at his carpentry course, apparently.
Mm. Oh, no, dear, it wasn't that. Oh, don't you worry about that.
Sorry?
Oh, it wasn't anything to do with his carpentry course. That was the day after when he got a ticking off. He told me about that.
You sure?
Oh, yes. Because he said that made it all the worse, having the hangover at the time.
Anyway, there's no point in discussing it now. It's all over.
No, just a minute. You were there when he got drunk, weren't you, Mrs. Brewer? You were in the bar.
Oh, yes, dear. Oh, I couldn't stop him. I did try.
Do you have any idea what set him off? Didn't he say anything?
Oh, he said all sorts of things, but none of it made any sense. He was just talking rubbish most of the time. He kept telling everyone he was celebrating. He insisted on buying drinks all round.
Celebrating?
Something about the flat, was it?
Oh, no, nothing as sensible as that. He was just making things up, and he said something about a baby. Well, like I said, it was all some sort of silly joke, wasn't it? Thank you.